loaded, or you, they force a reboot on you. So my second laptop is, you know, burping on itself, as it were. Alrighty. Certainly interesting, Howie, to say the least. Anybody have any thoughts on this Chinese HF radio, the FT-808? Not a bit of a bummer. All right, well, there's your answer, Howie. Sorry about that, but thank you for bringing it to our attention. I'm going to look it up. Right now my computer's being used, or most of my computer's being used for something else right now, so that's kind of, it's going to have to wait, but I made a paper note on it, and we'll see how it goes. I'm going to try to see if I can get this flex to work on a different, a different power source and a different computer. We'll see how that goes. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments or questions for the net, for sale items, etc.?
Just one more for me. Don't forget, if you're looking for output and the mode is SSB, if you're not getting any audio, you won't get very much output.
Oh, I can see that I'm getting plenty of output. I put it on FM, too, just for good measure. I can see I'm getting a carrier. It's just not squirting out the door for whatever reason.
What do you mean? You're not getting modulation, or you're getting modulation, it just doesn't make it to the RF connector, or it doesn't have enough RF, you know, enough power level?
It's not getting out the... For whatever reason, it's not getting out the... The connector. Everything else is registering just fine.
H2ZC?
Go ahead, Dave.
Which flex is this?
1500. And I've done this now to two different 1500s where, you know, I test them, they work fine. I then connect them to, you know, I chassis mount them on a hard chassis with the same computer, and magically they look like they're transmitting. They are transmitting. I've even loaded factory defaults, but no RF is coming out the connector.
You're using Power SDR?
Yes, sir.
You sure your drive? What?
Drive was full up. Full up.
Your settings isn't in receive mode?
I checked that too. It actually looks like it's transmitting, and it's not. I checked that checkbox, and it's not checked. It'll transmit. Yes.
Your pan adapter when you transmit?
Yeah, it shows up beautifully on the pan adapter.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, good luck.
Yes, it's very frustrating. I'm thinking that I somehow managed to break the relay driver on the TR relay. I'm hearing things transmit when I click the microphone, but I can't say that something is not enabling that last relay to go to push the RF out the door. What I may do I'm going to take my other flex and my 5000 on and use that as a receiver, use that as a 7000, and listen for it a little more carefully and see if I can hear it, if I put it on the transverter port or something like that. And we'll see what happens.
Did you check the antenna selection on the antenna up on the menu? It's an antenna sub-menu. You have to be in the PA for receive and PA for transmit. And the flex wire, you're not using the flex wire, are you, in the back?
Not using the flex wire, and this is a 1500, so I think there's only one option, isn't there?
No, that's all I have is a 1500. Flex wire is just to either enable it or you can set a delay on it, that's all. But I think the antenna connection in the back or in the menus, the receive has to be on PA and transmit on PA.
Well, you know what? I'm going to test that theory in a moment. That's a good suggestion. I'll have to reboot the computer, but give me a second.
You can also try going back to an older version of the PowerSDR, where you probably use an older database, and see if it works then.
Yeah, what I've done there is I actually went to factory defaults, just to be sure. So I'm booting the computer. It's going to take a minute or two to get it all up and working. It's a little tiny computer. There we go. Eventually that monitor will come up. I'll see what the music comes up in about 15 or 18 seconds later. The display lights up because I have an AOC display that's, oh, by the way, very cool. Let me talk about that a little bit. I don't know if I did that before. A company called AOC makes an ideal monitor for portable locations, or if you want a second monitor on your laptop. It's it looks like the size of a laptop. It's like 16 inches, I think, diagonally, something like that. They also make a 22 or 23 inch diagonal one as well, maybe bigger actually. And what's cool about it is that both the interface signaling and the power are derived from two USB ports. So it does require that you have two free USB ports, because it uses both for two for power, but it works really, really well. And I would strongly advise it. It's kind of neat the way it works. So keep that in mind and give it a try. AOC, I think that the one monitor is I think it was $89 at Best Buy online, and I think the bigger one is maybe like 120. 130, something like that. Very nice. And it's got a picture frame type stance. You can either stand it up or put it, you know, panoramic, depending on whether you're reading, using it for book reading or something like that, or whatever status. But you also can take that little flipper arm off and mount it flat against something. And that's what I've done, and it's really kind of slick. It really is good. Any questions about the AOC USB monitor? Well, don't laugh too hard. I'm actually advocating to my son that he consider getting one for his presentation needs, when he needs to have something a little bit bigger than a regular monitor, but he wants something really convenient to move around. So, anyway, it's a thought. All right, any other questions or comments for the net tonight?
Stacy, to you on page.
Ed, Paul.
Comments and questions and anecdotes. The first one is on, as for your ham radio wife, as you know, the next step up is antenna designer wife, who I actually said I wanted to move my antenna. She took a look at it and said, no, but I'll move it for you, which is nice.
And what did she have in mind when you moved it, when she moved it?
She wants it another 50 yards away from the house, up in the trees, where she doesn't have to look at it.
Now, here's the question. Is this a VHF antenna?
I'm sorry.
The VHF antenna or an HF antenna?
The HF. I actually have some questions on the UHF, the VHF. But one quick comment, which is Radio Shack. Love them or hate them. Are having clearance sale at the moment, and they seem to be clearing out all their Adreno kits. They're not doing the base models, but they're doing a lot of the Ethernet boards, the project boards, etc., etc., etc. So worth checking your local stores, pick them up. The other thing that they're selling is they're clearing out the Hexbox, which are just little radio controlled bugs for $5, but they do give you a nice project, and that you can strip them out, you get a nice radio control X-Y access So if you want to play about with, make your own rotators, whatever, these things are perfect for 5 bucks.
That's a great idea. That's a really great idea. Yeah, I saw them introduce that last year, and I said, boy, that's going to crash and burn big time. Someone must have sold them a bill of goods on carrying it, and they did it, and it crashed and burned, and that's the end of that. So, that's kind of a shame. I think their problem is that they got burned by the Internet, because you can buy it online much cheaper even with shipping. That's the biggest problem. I just bought 4 Arduino kits, really, really super nice kits, with all sorts of componentry and a nice box, proto board, blah, 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 for like $100 from, who is it? I didn't buy it from Canada Kits, or maybe I did buy it from Canada Kits. I can't remember who I bought it from, but anyway. If you look at it's bought from SparkFun. SparkFun Electronics has a variety of proto kits based on Arduino and other things. And my company uses Arduinos for educating future engineers. It's kind of like a cross between junior achievement. We support junior achievement and various other groups, including scout groups around the country. And at one point had lent some of our more junior staff and some of our more senior staff, actually both, to work with educational institutions to get these things going and get projects going in classrooms. And, it really has worked out well. What's interesting, from what I can tell, some of the more interesting projects didn't come from the prototypical STEM student. They came from other students perhaps less academically gifted, but were more creative. And that's something that is raising an eyebrow, which is good.
Yeah, I think that between that and the Raspberry Pi, you're now going to see the next generation of creativity, computer science, really kick through into, social media. It's going to be interesting times.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing a project right now with a Raspberry Pi. Basically, at a simple level, it's more complicated, and I can't talk about the complicated part, but at a fundamental level, we're taking temperature readings and voltage readings, and temperature sensors you can see on the Internet for like $6 to $10, USB temperature sensors. We're using those, and we're using the rather expensive power check modules from West Mountain Radio, because they come with a complete telemetry set for DC power, so that's a hoot. And then we're uploading it and doing interesting things with it, which I can't talk about, but it's, having a little Pi there is kind of cool to do that job. And we're having a lot of fun. In fact, it's just a mere mention of it opened up other doors I can't talk about it. It's people have come to me and said, can you also do blah, blah, blah? Answer, yeah. And I'm not going to do it on a Raspberry Pi, but my organization is very happy with that. So things like ham radio and the things we do at ham radio are, really kind of amazing as to how you can open doors professionally even now. So simple little things can solve big problems, and that's what people are looking for. Anyway, anybody else have any comments? KTBR.
One more question, a different topic, K2EIR.
Good, Howie.
Okay, I've volunteered to help one of our community organizations with with their solar power project. I don't know whether it's federal or state. I'm not in deep enough, but there are energy credits, and the limit is 50 kilowatt systems. Does anyone have any idea how much average power a 50 kilowatt system actually puts out? You know, obviously it puts out 50 kilowatts in bright sunlight, but you know, you have to average it over a whole day, including nighttime when it's dark. But even in daylight hours, we know it's not optimum all day long. And I don't know what the factor is. And, you know, it's going to put out an average of 20 kilowatts. It's going to put out an average of 10 kilowatts. Anybody who can give me any indication at all, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I think the point is you're going to get, you know, from, you know, in decent sunlight, you're going to get, you know, the majority of the power most of the time, you know, when the sun is square to it. When it's, you know, more than, I'm going to say, you know, 60 degrees off axis, you're going to start to lose power pretty rapidly. Well, maybe not. Maybe 60, 70 degrees off axis. That's when you start losing a lot. You know, think that through. Just figure the number of hours a day and go from there. But there's actually, you can see stuff online that'll tell you those answers as to how much power you're looking for. There's a lot of online calculators.
If you run across any in your leisure, send me the references. Part of my usual problem is I'm trying to bounce, put too many balls in the air, but I will take a look. And you know, if you put in solar, of course you find tons of stuff, but I'm not sure I can find you know, what I'm looking for. And of course, you know, ideally I want to know how to consider this over a year, you know, the different hours of daylight and as you said, different angles of the sun for a fixed mounted system. So I just, you know, because you got to see how much capacity to have. If you know, I've already figured out our average consumption, so now we have to figure out the average production. Thanks, K2EIR.
What, when you say the average consumption, you mean of the entire complex?
Yeah, and I did, you know, people were being floored by this because of the complexity of Con Ed bills, and I sort of took the forest versus trees outlook on this, and I simply said, okay, you're telling me if you added up your total consumption, you know, your total kilowatt billing for 2 years and divided, you know, so that you have an average for a year, and they're telling me they have so many hundreds of thousands of kilowatt hours in a year, I said, okay, let's divide by 365. And let's divide by 24, and then we know what your average kilowatt consumption is at any given time, right? You know, if you divide by 24, a kilowatt hour divided by an hour, you're dealing with kilowatts, not kilowatt hours anymore, right? You've got a 50 kilowatt array up there producing, that's what it produces, 50 kilowatts, but sometimes it produces less, right?
Yeah, the question I would have is, what's your peak daytime, you know, load?
Interestingly enough, they have a billing from Con Ed that has a regular consumption. Well, I don't want to keep using the word consumption. A regular kilowatt meter, and then they have or kilowatt hour meter. Let me put it that way. And then they have a second meter reading on their bill for peak kilowatts, peak demand, and it's not in kilowatt hours, it's in kilowatts. And apparently what I've been able to read with Con Ed is they're concerned with the peak in any half hour. So I still don't know all the implications of that. Since I don't know what the peak is, and of course I figured, well, look, you could maybe get an electrician in there with you know, one of these clip-on ammeters, and you could, you know, back into this figure. for right now, I said, let's look at averages. I don't know what the peak would be. I don't know that we have to be concerned with peak because of, you know, the net metering thing. I just think that what I want to at least do is make sure that on average we can supply everything.
Well, are you allowed to pump power back into the grid?
Okay, let me explain net metering. Many states have adopted it as law. This is K2EIR, as a law or regulation that utilities have to offer what they call net metering. This is a meter that runs both forwards and backwards. When you take it, draw your electricity off the grid like you usually do, it runs forward. When your solar system through, you know, solar array through inverters, which I guess are phased with the properly with the electric grid, they go into the grid. Okay, you don't have any batteries. That's what made solar now this year more cheaper than buying from the utility. So there are no batteries. You either take it off the grid or you put it into the grid.
Right. Okay. So I baited you this to explain that. That's good. So with net metering, you don't care what your daytime peak is. The theory will be that if people are not home and not leaving their air conditioners on ridiculous temperatures during the day, then you should, in the summertime, be able to pump some power into the grid that other people can use. And at night, you essentially credit yourself with power from the grid. My guess is that, if you just simply took an average of, I'm going to say, 6 hours, 7 hours, let's say 7 hours a day. Six hours of full power, or even two-thirds power, 6 hours of two-thirds power. That's probably a good average for the year. You know, 6 hours of daylight, of really good daylight on average. And derate by two-thirds, you know, into two-thirds. So I think that would probably be a good number to use. So 50 kilowatts times three-quarters, times six, times the number of days in the year.
Yeah, or looking another way, just figure two-thirds of those 6 hours, in other words, 4 hours, four times 50 kilowatts is 200 kilowatt hours is all you'll get out of a 50 kilowatt system.
Yeah, my guess is you get more than that, but on average. But I think that's probably, you're on the right track. I mean, play with the numbers and see, when we start modeling real numbers, you'll come up with a min-max kind of thing. Then you can always then test it against real known configurations and see how they actually did.
Meters, they have to have more than one meter, so they may luck out that way. There's lots of stuff I have to look into, and I don't know why I volunteered for this when I have so much to do, except I'm just fascinated. I needed something to motivate me. I don't know how many people are still listening. I don't want to hold up the net or its termination, so I'll leave it here. Thank you. W2TTT from K2EIR.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Howie, I have a... The ORL has put out called Emergency Power by Michael Bryce, WB8VGE. He's got a lot about solar panels in there. This guy is a fellow who's got his whole house set up with the solar panels, and he's tried wind power and you name it, but he got a bit on it there. I don't know how whether that would be in your interest to get a hold of a book like this, but he figures out how much load you got and how many ampere hours you got and stuff like that. So and he's figuring on, well, you have a house, you have this light, how many light bulbs and how many computers and how many radios, etc., that kind of a thing. And he tries to figure out how much of a But then again, a lot of this stuff he's doing is also charging batteries, strictly solar panel itself.
Yeah, but with net metering, you know, what's nice about that is that you don't have to store the power, and the company has to buy from you with a maximum of up to 50 kilowatts per system. So that's pretty good. How big an array is a 50 kilowatt system, by the way, mechanically, from the candidate suppliers? Just curious.
Don't know. To tell you the truth, I've only met one meeting, one committee meeting, the initial kickoff meeting, and I've done one private meeting, going over their power bills. So I really have to work from the power bills, but thanks, JK, about that book. It wouldn't apply here. It's not a residential kind of thing, and I think it's too much. I have to get it from the power, some of the bills, and they've had some surveys, so I have to ask more questions and get more data from the management person that I'm that's part of the committee. It's still me, I'm limiting my time. I'd like to do a little other research first. They haven't exclusively set a number of vendors yet. They're looking. They've already looked at three. They'll probably look at more. And I don't know all the details. But it's, again, it's interesting. It's for a non-profit, organization, K2EIR.
So it's not for your residents?
It's for a community organization. I can't volunteer my money. I don't have enough, but I can volunteer my time, which I don't have enough of either.
I gotcha. All right, very good. It sounds interesting, but... You know, if you know the total power consumption of everybody across 2 years, then I think that you know you can. I think your calculation as to how much an average day is in the way of consumption is probably pretty representative. And you know, if you need a peak, you know what? Take the sum total of all the component meters and assume they all had the same peak, or check a couple of them to see if they had the same peak, and do a statistical distribution based on coincident peaks of demand from the few meters that are or a few bills that are peak reading, and be done with it. You know, that's a reasonable thing. So let's say you have 10 and 6 of them were had coincident peaks. Then take the whole population and assume 60% of them have coincident peaks of the same magnitude, or the average of those magnitudes.
Is he in here?
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I think you sort of got to look at it from the other way. Finding out the solar, how many hours per day, how much you're going to generate, that's fair and good, and you do need to do that. From more the accounting standpoint, you really need to look at it as if I generate every single watt of that 50 kilowatt hours and sell that back to the utility company, how much that's going to get me and how much that's going to offset the bills that I already have. You don't really have to worry about load or peak because at the end of the day you're grid tied. If you have the load, you can pull it off the grid anyway. It is a funny accounting, equation that you use, but that's basically more a case of how much can I generate? Like if I put a 60 kilowatt system in and sell 50 back to the grid and use 10, that's going to work for me, as opposed to putting in 50 because I know I'm going to use 10 and sell 40. So it's funny that way, but yes, the key is working out the daily cycle and how much you're actually going to use, or how much you're actually going to generate back to them.
You're absolutely right. I mean, in the net metering scenario, the power company is obliged to buy every ounce of power you can generate. So the real trick is all you need to know is how much you're going to generate, how much that is represented in dollars offsetting your bill. And as long as you don't exceed your bill, I think you're allowed to exceed your bill, but only for a certain percentage, then I think you're fine.
K2EIR. Well, there are issues about selling it back, you know, such as at what rate are they reimbursing you, the wholesale rate, the retail rate, are they going to apply, are they going to be selling you electricity at the peak rate, but buying it from you at the off-peak rate, you know, and all that. The reason I'm concerned with how much the solar array puts out is we want to be as close to zero as we can be. And, depending on the pricing, you know, I don't know yet whether we're going to be priced by kilowatt hour that the array uses or provides, or we're going to be billed, a flat monthly rate for the investment, you know, like when you lease a solar system, you could pay a flat amount each month. So this is partly to get a preview before we get into it, before they commit themselves to a contract of how much better they will do. And I'm undoubtedly sure they will do better than not doing it. K2EIR.
Well, yeah, one other thing to add to that equation, if you buy the system, generally speaking, you get better rates. Just keep that in mind, as opposed to leasing the system.
Yeah, the other thing you got to think on that is that, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest upfront cost is panels plus insulation, and insulation is a big part of it. And if it's a case of throwing on extra panels, or, you know, at the end of the day, if you generate it and they don't buy it, you know, what have you lost? Effectively just the cost of the panel, amortized over how much time. You know, so at the end of the day, it comes down to get them in the room and say, how much are you going to buy this for? And then on the other side, get the solar guys into how much is this going to generate and how much are you going to cost me for installation.
Yes, okay, thank you. For whatever it's worth, again, from homework for myself, I found there's a franchise chain called Solar City around the country, and one opened in the next town for me. And on the website for Solar City, they give a sample, which I've downloaded but have not read, of a leasing agreement and what they call a power purchase agreement. So I have to see what a power purchase agreement is all about, which may be the way my organization's going. So I've got some homework to do, and I can't ask the sophisticated or intelligent questions yet, but I'm getting there. You know, you feel around the edges until you home in. K2EIR.
That's all good, Howie. That's really good. I think you're on the right track.
K2EIR, this is W2LPN.
Go ahead.
If you take a look and search the web for Solar Electric and Booton High School, they recently completed a project and have a PDF file that lists some of the information you're talking about. It's fairly brief, but it does discuss numbers in terms of solar panels that were used and the amount of money that was saved and some timelines and things like that. And then down on the bottom, it lists the Morris County Improvement Authority and their phone number, who was, I believe, responsible for putting some of this together and making it happening in the Morris County Schools. If you take a look there, that might be some of the information. It might at least give you a resource of a place you can go that's done this once before in a school system, which is probably along the size of the complex you're looking to work with. Back to you.
Sure, thanks. I'll do a search for that. By the way, I live here in Tarrytown, and the Village Hall put in a 50-kilowatt system about a year ago, and I don't remember if there's been anything published. I think there has, about kilowatts used and so forth. But they're very happy with their system. They in terms of money saved, they're doing much better than they thought. I think they were looking at a 10-year payback, and right now it looks like it'll be a 5-year payback. So it's very encouraging. Village Hall is relatively new, and it was interesting to me to look at the roof and see it as it was, and then, you know, at some point later, because I don't go downtown very often, I said, oh, wow, there are solar panels on that roof. So I think they had the right idea. But they don't have they're just, you know, powering offices and that kind of thing, you know, maybe routine air conditioning. The organization I'm trying to help has a little bit bigger load. They have athletic facilities, and that means air conditioning even in the winter, you know, while people work out. K2EIR.
Well, very good. Anything else? This is a very elaborate thing. So Booton High School, or the Booton School District website, was the one you suggested, Rick?
Yeah, if you search Boonton High School, B-O-O-N-T-O-N, which incidentally is probably the place I'll be working next year to get a job there. At any rate, they put a solar panel array along the parking lot and on the roof of the building, and it does list quite a few numbers, but if you search Boonton High School and Solar Electric, it'll come up with a PDF file under the MorrisCountyEDC.org. And they list some information about different schools and the size of the panels that they've put in and the cost savings they're expecting to reach. But, yeah, check it out. It's got some good information on it. I'll send it back over to you. This is W2LCN.
Yeah, Howie?
Glad I asked. It's like I could have had a V8. I should have asked, but I did ask. I'm very happy. Thank you, LCN. I forgot the handle there. You know, we never really ended the net, so I really ought to turn it to Gordon. Thank you all. W2TTT from K2EIR.
No, it's fine. We can continue like this. This is fine. I'm all good with this. This is great.
For my part, I think I really ought to pull the plug here, since I get up. My last alarm goes off at 4:30 in the morning. I haven't been getting much done lately because of fatigue, so I think I'm going to pull the switch here. Besides which, I'm losing my voice. 783 guys, K2EIR.
Good news, I did not fry the SDR radio. I actually got it to output power, and when I untethered it, then I kept it tethered and connected it to the to the radio. I mean, but I put it on top of the same metal platen as the computer, and it stayed working. So now I've rebolted it with one bolt to the platen, and I'm going to do it one screw at a time to see if there's a mounting screw that's an issue here. I'm beginning to think there might be a mounting screw that's kind of just getting in the way, although I was told it would work fine because there's hard stops on the other side, but, you know, why trust a manufacturer, right? Grin, grin. Any more on either the flex or the solar panel topic? K2BAR. Well, Howie, good night to you. Thank you very much. And, Rick, did you want to add anything?
No, I'm just listening and trying to relax and enjoying the net. But, I'm checking out all the information you guys are putting out. Hopefully I'll be able to implement some of this over at the high school. It looks like I picked up the job. I got the contract in the mail today. I got a few final details I got questions on. But it looks like I'll settle in for September over at Boonton High School to improve their technology program and get things up to speed. But nothing. This was a very interesting net, though. Long, but a lot of great information.
Well, until lately, our normal nets were about an hour and a half to 2 hours, so not surprising. It was a really good topic tonight from beginning to end. I was very pleased. Didn't like the fact that the Devils lost. And one empty net goal, they lost 3-1 to the Jets. It was just horrible. It started with a fluky goal at the beginning of the game, 8 seconds in. It's just a weird bounce, but like a thought of scored a goal for the Devils and tied it up, and then I forget who did it, but Coast to Coast, it's a beautiful bit of skating and artwork and a rebound, and somebody buried a puck. But anyway, Devils have a lot of chances, they just can't finish. Just they're running through a weird streak. Anyway, 7-3, everybody. Have a great one, and congratulations on the job, Rick. That's just super. Good for you. W2FPN, KE2BAR.
Check out the email, K2EIR.
Very good. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and thank everyone for their great questions and contributions tonight. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, off and clear, 7-3.
I guess taking the steps they need to. But, yeah, I sent you an email with two links. I sent it to you as well, Gordon. At any rate, I'll say 73 to everybody, and have a great evening. This is W2LCN. Clear in your final words.
Okay, sorry about that. I chomped on the very beginning of your transmission, but that was awesome. Congratulations, and I'm sure you'll make a hell of an impact. That's the whole point. Patience has paid off, and you know, you left a job you didn't like for a business opportunity that didn't work out, and now it looks like you're ending up with a better job. That's the way it sounds, anyway. Congratulations to you. Prayers are answered. W2LCN, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. You're right. That's kind of how I feel about this, you know. Saw a lot of great things. Got to see how industry worked on the inside, and now I get to bring it back into the classroom in an environment that they look like they are crying for some improvements and just looking for somebody. And I think they were surprised that I was willing to accept the job. Honestly, they just seemed like you're going to take it, you're going to do this. I think it's going to help the whole school out by putting this stuff in there. And I'd like to see the ham radios go in as one of the alternatives for some of the courses they're offering now. So it's pretty good. I'd like to do a lot of things. The GIS software, 3D modeling, and ham radio are the three big things I'd like to push into the school.
Well, there's a two-stage course. It's like a week-long thing the league does. You can take it over successive summers, and they fund it entirely. You can apply for it. Call the league and ask about their teacher program, how to bring ham radio in the classroom, and they have workshops. When's their next workshop, and how do you sign up for it? And you know, you probably can't sign up for this summer, although you might be able to. That might be a good thing. If not, if you can, that's great. If you can't, get into the next cycle, okay? And you can do it for 2 years in a row, and there's two different programs with increasing advanced stuff.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because one of my biggest regrets when I went into work with Acme was I was already accepted into the Teachers Institute 2 years ago, and I had to turn it down because of work. I have put in for it again. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that I'll get accepted to it this time. And they've even added a third institute. It's still only the second level, but now it's specifically dealing with remote sensing. So it's really kind of where things have gone, rather than the whole idea of space. Now they're really focusing on satellite, gathering data and reporting data and linking that with the GIS software. So, yeah, that's. I'm hoping to be in there in July and then bring that right into the classroom. I think it'll be a very valuable benefit. But it's funny you mention that, because that was my big focus leaving Franklin Lakes this past month, was to make sure that my application was in while I was still teaching. I got the glowing letter of recommendation from the building principal and the superintendent. So now it's just a matter of getting through it and getting back on my feet, and it looks like September will be the time frame when all that happens. So I've got a few months to really get my ducks in a row, and then it's hard charging ahead to make up for a few years. Back to you, Gordon.
Remember, this is J1 with some new folks, and I don't know what the hell is going on with my radio, but right now it's working fine. I got to bolt it back in. It's working fine. I'm going to have to turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on. do about 1,000 times to make sure everything works right. But this is great. All right. So this has been a productive evening all around. And again, I'm so thrilled for you. This is like really, really good. And, see if you can go up on the C-SPAN website and the National Governors Association had a thing on Saturday, a Saturday session that Dan Malloy, the governor of Connecticut, chaired. He actually is the chairman of the NGA. And there was a forum on education, and they were talking about the notion of one teacher, one classroom was outdated, and that they needed to change the educational model where you take the outstanding teacher and you put them in front of more classrooms. It doesn't mean teaching more classes, but, you know, orchestrating that, and that you have different kinds of lesser teachers, less experienced teachers, specialists, aides, all sorts of things in that. So what you can do, number one, is bring up, or should we say bring down the cost of education, but also put the best teaching program and the attentiveness that some kids need in their face at reduced cost to the taxpayer. It's interesting stuff. In fact, I love the one comment from the governor of Virginia who said, well, until we just changed our law, we couldn't have somebody I forget who they mentioned. But some famous, genius teacher in our school systems because they didn't have a credential. They weren't allowed to teach in the classroom. It's ridiculous. And somebody else, I think Governor of Nebraska made a similar, Terry Branstad, is it? Yeah, made a similar comment about folks in his world, too.
That's what you've got to do. You really just got to focus on education and forget the politics. I'm going into this job with a clear head on. I have no ambition of trying to go after tenure. I have a clear focus on improving the program and doing everything that needs to be done. And I think that in most cases they look and they see what they like, they grant tenure anyway. But you got to get rid of all the politics and focus on the kids and just say, this is what you need. You want to go out in industry, this is what you need to do. If you want to be an engineer and design and create something, you need to know how to market it. You need to know how to sell it. And, you need to go out and look at these places. And it only takes a phone call to any area industry and say, hey, can I come take a tour of some part of your facility with 20 kids? And most places are going to turn around and say, absolutely, when can you do it? So it's really just a matter of, making the connections. I don't know. You got to inspire it. That's pretty much it. And I don't know. The way I see it, it's God's plan to get me in there and inspire the other teachers so that they follow my suit and say, hey, we can do this. We can turn this place into a dynamic place where kids come to learn. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. My gears are turning. So I've had a couple of late nights just thinking about all this, but you can do so much with the kids, help them to go so far and take that goofball and turn him into the best engineer who's got the most talent. But you got to inspire. That's pretty much it. Back to you.
That is correct. You have to inspire. And that's awfully hard. And, one of my most valuable engineers apparently had a real tough time with mathematics. And, he's not only a good software engineer, but he's turning out to be a halfway decent hardware engineer, although his one regret is that he didn't spend more time doing hardware engineering that, was software driven, so he's having to play catch up a little bit, but he's a bright boy in figuring it out. But, he's a Stevens grad, but apparently he was a Stevens grad who, struggled with his math throughout the entire time he was there. He's an unbelievably good engineer, not just in software, but in hardware and problem solving, and he can stand up and sell the damn stuff, and, it's a pleasure to watch. It really, really is.
tell when I'm working with an administrator or another teacher and trying to tell them, I say, you really got to be able to educate at will. You've got to kind of find what you want them to learn. And literally, like in the military or in the scouts, we would call, you know, fire for effect. And that means, you know, drop a dozen mortars in an area and fire so that whole area is completely canvassed and there is no area that's not saturated. And I kind of refer to that a lot of times when I'm dealing with an administrator. I say, you've got to be able to educate at will and fire for effect. And literally canvass them with so much curiosity that they're knocking on the door the next day, 20 minutes early, going, hey, can we come into your class? And can we do this now? But it's exciting when you realize how to make that connection. God, you can light a fire in a kid. That takes a mile. It's incredible watching them work because they start to become like this self-perpetuating thirst for knowledge, and they don't want to leave. So it's pretty good. I'd like to see some of these kids end up on the net. So next year, I'd love to have a student or two by the end of the year check in on this Thursday night net. That's kind of one of my goals, even if it's just a small step, but I want to get the seed planted at the school and start to build the momentum. And who knows, a couple of years, we'll see where we're at.
Yeah, well, I hear loud and clear. I've tried for years to get the kids to come up on this net. It's an amazing thing if I can get them to show up on any net. But, you know, part of it is nervousness, part of it is not sure what to say, part of it is, you know, they're worried about how they sound, you know, all that nonsense. So it can be pretty mind-bending sometimes. Slightly annoying, but that's all right. They're kids. They're allowed to be annoying. That's what they do. One thing I'm going to encourage you to think about, try, you know, if they say, okay, you're going to have, we really want you to focus on these 30 STEM students or these 60 STEM students, ask the question, who would the 60 kids or the 100 kids behind those who may not have great math in particular and possibly science because it's an outgrowth of math, the way science has been presented, they just kind of like, you know, their brains turn to mush, you know, when some drone sits in front of the room and lectures them and tells them to do it this way and that way. And, you know, you have to kind of back them into the scientific method. I've often learned that, and, you know, recording information and data, and you're going to deal with a lot of inner city kids, you know, that's where you are working. And so, don't tell me about your best and brightest, because guess what? The best and the brightest are going to be the best and the brightest no matter what. What, you know, academically. What I want are the next tier, the folks who also have these other gifts. The kid who can get up and do a tap dance and do a story and tell a story, put things in terms that people can understand. If you can reach that kid, that's the better engineer in the long term.
Absolutely. I see it all across the board, and I love getting a kid who's, you know, his dad did some work on houses and things like this, and then he doesn't think he can do the math, and you say, okay, let's forget about the math. Let's go fire some rockets and get the angle. Yeah, get the velocity, get that too, and get the time of flight. Yeah, stick that over here, stick this over there, and then you put up the physics equation and go, wait a minute, I'm doing physics? No, you're just firing rockets. He says, all right. You know, then he gets it. He's like, okay, I can understand the math, but you're right. It's not the cream of the crop because they're very focused on just meeting the objective one way. But I always give them a challenge. I let them come up with a solution. I say, no, give me two more. Or they hate it because two more solutions. I said, give me four more. Give me eight more. And then I just put such slight variations on the project. So they're technically different, but it's the kids who are very creative. They're not used to getting all these. And they turn around and go, wait, I could change this, I could change that. And that's when the gears start going. But that's what I'm getting. That's definitely what I'm getting at the school. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit to get in there and start working with these guys. It's just inspiring. I want to see what I can create out of, you know, this raw material. But it should be pretty good. I'm excited. I'll send it back over to you, and I think I'm going to head out and get ready for bed because the morning's going to come pretty quick, and I know my son's going to wake me up at about 4 a.m. But I'll be clear on your final. This is W2LCN.
Hi, Rick. Again, congratulations. It's outstanding. It's really cool stuff. So I'm slowly putting this thing back together and noticing that everything is hunky bloody dory. So there's one screw that won't go in, and I think I'm just going to leave it out. If you think that's the right answer. Either I'll chop off the head and just crazy glue the head in the whole space. All right, 7-3. Take care and God bless. W2FCN, W2TTG, off and clear.
The little HF HF QRP rig, which also includes 2 meters and 70 centimeters also.